Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing this morning? So excited that you are here to worship with us. And today we're going to celebrate a powerful act of faith called baptism. I love baptisms. I don't know about you, but I really do. What I love about it symbolizes what Jesus has done for us, and it declares to the world that we're made new in him, that the old has passed away, that the new has come. It's so good. And today, we're going to celebrate with over 40 people at both of our campuses, right, that have said yes to Jesus. And we also want to just say welcome to any guests with us that are here to celebrate your friend or your family member getting baptized. We are so glad that you're here. So just want to welcome you. We're excited to celebrate with you together. Now, the act of baptism does not save you. Okay, it doesn't make you new. It doesn't wash away your sins. Now, I know that looks nice and warm and, well, I mean, it was used last service, so we'll just see about that. But it doesn't wash it away, right? See, we often describe baptism as an outward expression to an inward reality. And that reality is when you say yes to Jesus, he becomes Lord of your life, right? He comes to live inside of you and he makes you new. But what does that even mean? What does it mean to be made new? How do you live this new life? Well, that's actually what I want to talk about today. So would you just join me in praying? I'm going to invite Jesus to increase in this room and invite the teacher and the guide. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Jesus. We just thank you for every person that has said yes to Jesus is going to declare it today. Lord, we know heaven is celebrating. But Lord, we know that you want to speak to each and every one of us in this room today. Would you open our ears to hear you? Lord, I know some people may have come in with maybe some anxiety or distraction. We thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for coming and bringing your peace, that we could hear your voice, Jesus. So we invite you, Lord. We take a moment and say, come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a question for you. Do you ever feel haunted by your past? You know, that past that seems a little bit hard to get away from, or, you know, maybe it's something you really try to forget in your past, but you seem to can't forget it. And, you know, there's some more serious things, maybe some traumas in your past, but there are also some really simple things, some lighter things, simple mistakes that kind of pop up all the time. You know, recently I was going to pick up my kids from their basketball practice in Champaign. And so I'm waiting outside the school and I thought, man, they're kind of taking a long time to come out. Like, I wonder what's going on. And then I had this weird feeling. You know, I'm like, am I in the right place? And so I started to look at the schedule and then I text my wife and I'm like, I'm supposed to be at the school, right, to pick them up. And she texts me back. She's like, no, you're supposed to be in Muhammad. And I'm like, Muhammad? That's 20 minutes away from here, right? And then she adds this, you know, the coach is a police officer and he has to leave right away after practice or he's going to be late. I'm like, great. So I'm quickly going, not too quickly, because it's a police officer. I'm like, Lord, why does it have to be a police officer? You know, so I'm going down the interstate and I'm trying not to go too fast. So I finally pull in and there they all are waiting. They're the last ones, of course. And the police officer looks at me and he's like, you know, kind of gets into the car and drives away real fast. And I'm like, oh man, why does it have to be that? You know, and everything was fine. We all got home safe. Well, needless to say, now when I go pick up the kids, my wife may or may not say, are you sure you know where you're going? It could be haunting me just a little bit every time I go to pick up my kids. I'm like, am I sure I'm in the right place? Now, that's a really simple mistake. But I know there are much more serious things in our past that can haunt us. Bigger mistakes, like serious traumas in our life. And some of them are so big that they can seem to even have power to define your future. You know, maybe it's a broken friendship. And you feel like, wow, I can never be that close to someone again. I'm never going to be that close. Or maybe it's some brokenness in your marriage. And you think, man, we are never going to get over this mistake. Or I'm never going to get married again because of my past. Or maybe it's just a poor choice. But because of that choice, people start to look at you different, right? They start to put a label on you or see you through a lens and, oh, you're that guy that did that. And when you try to move forward, get back on your feet, get on with your life, it kind of trips you up. Maybe someone reminds you of the mistake, or maybe you make that mistake again and again, and you find yourself in a cycle. Well, the Apostle Paul, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He says something really powerful about our past, something that seems impossible, one of those too good to be true. Now, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and they're kind of a crazy, wild church, and he's explaining the benefits of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, we just celebrated that last week in Easter, right? That all of our sin and shame and condemnation was nailed to Jesus on the cross, and we were actually with him on that cross, and that all died there, and he conquered death, and then 3 days later, he rose again to new life, and now from that victory, we can have victory. I mean, we celebrated. Wasn't that a good celebration? Some of you were with us. So in light of that, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says this. Therefore, in light of what Jesus did, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, Paul's making a pretty bold statement here. The old has passed away. Like, he's talking about your past mistakes, attitudes, your past decisions, your old way of thinking, your behavior, that is gone and the new has come. So if this is true, why doesn't it always seem that way? Right? Why isn't my everyday life feel like that? You know, why are the things in my, I'm thinking of my own past, and I'm like, why does that crop up into my mind and all of a sudden it seems to mess with me? Well, what does it mean to be a new creation? What is he talking about here? Well, let's look a little deeper. He says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, that first part I'm going to come back to, so you hold on to that. What does it mean to be a new creation? And some translations say a new creature. Right? Meaning that it's just, you were just made as your original formation. And this word new, I love word studies. This word new in the Greek is really important. It's this Greek word kainos. And it means recently made, fresh, recent. Listen to this. Wholesome, faultless, unworn. See, to be a new creation means you're faultless. Whew, that's intense. You're unworn, you're fresh, man. Some of you need to hear this today, right? You're not washed up, you're not old, you're not worn out, you're not damaged goods. See, sometimes our feelings are real big. Anybody have big feelings in here? You feel kind of overwhelmed? Well, do you know that your feelings aren't facts? Now, our feelings can point to something, but they can't usually point us to the truth. But that's just the first part of the definition. He goes even a little deeper. This new also means to be of a new kind. Unprecedented, novel, unheard of. What Paul is saying is there's nothing like this. You have never seen anything like this before. It's that new. If anyone is in Christ, we're going to look at that later, he is a fresh, unworn, faultless, wholesome, new kind of creature. And then Paul goes on to explain what that means. He says, the old has passed away. Now that old, that's talking about old things, old times, and old conditions. I know some of us, we grew up with some pretty hard things. Some pretty hard things. Some of us were even born into bad conditions. You know, when I look into my life, I was raised with an alcoholic and pretty abusive father. There were some really, really hard times. And so when I started following Jesus, I had a lot of stuff to work through, and I still do sometimes, especially when I became a parent. Well, what happens when you become a parent? Why is it so hard, right? Like, you get sharpened a lot, right? You get challenged. You know, especially with raising my boys. Man, am I just going to burst in anger like my dad did? Or when I'm stressed and full of anxiety, am I just going to grab a drink to calm down? Is what was modeled to me, what I experienced, going to predict the way I do my future? Now, you could probably think of a lot of conditions, times, things in your past that were like that. But see, what Paul is saying here is that those things, those times, those conditions have passed away. Wow. Now, he's saying he's not saying you forget them. He's saying they lost their power, right? They have perished. You can look at it and say, you are dead to me, right? You can do that. That's what he's saying. And then he goes on. He says, behold. No, we don't use behold very much, right? You know what that means? It means listen up. Hey, look at this. Hey, I'm calling attention to something new here. He says, behold, the new has come. Now, that new is the same word, the kainos. Fresh, recent, faultless, new kind of creature has come. That means has been fulfilled. Now, I want you to notice something in this verse. Notice the tenses. He didn't say this is going to happen someday. This is will happen. He says the old has passed away. The new has come. He's speaking like it already happened. I don't know how this hits you, but this is good news. This is powerful news. And you may look at it and say, this is too good to be true. Or why doesn't my experience match up with what they're saying? Why is that? See, where we fix our attention is important. And I think some of the reason this trips us up is we don't understand enough that first part of the verse. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Now, if you look at the meaning of this word, it means to be in a fixed position, like in a fixed place, a fixed time, and a fixed state of being. But if you look at the connotation of the word, it means to rest in Christ, to rest in our relationship, to rest in his truth, to rest in intimacy with him. That's what it means. Let me give you a sort of scientific illustration that demonstrates the power of what Jesus has really accomplished for us. So I think for many of us, as we go through our life, we have a lot of things that kind of make a mark in our lives. You know, we have traumas. We have mistakes. We have sins, maybe even addictions, right? And some of us, you know, people do things against us, right? And it starts to color our life, and it starts to make our life cloudy. And some of us have had really hard stuff, like way more than you ever should, right? And it just clouds your life and darkens your life, and so much so that all you can see is your mistakes sometimes, and all you can see is the hurt and the pain in your life, and you can't seem to get past it, like messes with your momentum. And so you hear about Jesus, right? What he did for us on the cross. You know, Jesus, the living water, the pitcher of life, so to speak. And you think, wow, Jesus, well, he took that sin and that shame. He took condemnation and pain. It was poured into his body, right? And he conquered it. Death, sin, shame. He conquered the devil. It was all conquered. And we hear that, and many of us say, I want that. I want that to be in my life. I want him to be Lord of my life. I want to invite him into my heart. And so when we invite him in, Jesus pours his spirit into us. He pours his spirit. And right away, we start to see him break through the darkness. And it's not just like him being in us, but we're in him. And as we start to steward that, right, we start to stir that up with worship and reading your one-year Bible, right? His truth becomes our truth. And then his ways become our ways and his thoughts become our thoughts, right? Oh, my goodness. It's like all of that stuff is just swallowed up in his victory, because if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. That's right. He says, the old has passed away. You know, sometimes those old things, they try to come back in your life. Old habits, old addictions, old mistakes, like, you know, they try to, you've been following Jesus, but all of a sudden, these things start to go in, and maybe someone did something really bad to you. Even though you follow Jesus, they did something really bad to you, right? And you see it start to try to come back in, but you know what the thing is? It's a finished work. You know, Jesus' work is a finished work, and that stuff has lost its power, right? And as you rest in Christ, they can't do anything. The Spirit stirs up, and oh my goodness, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Isn't science cool? You see, this is what Jesus is inviting us to. That we would be in Christ, that we would cultivate a relationship with him. You know, this is why Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do a few things. Is that what that says? Apart from me, you can do. Oh, that's right. I'm glad you're reading. See, he's inviting us to intimacy with him. He's in us, we're in him, and when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. But see, Paul, he doesn't even stop there. That's what's so cool. This is just like a setup, which I believe is really crucial for us to understand what it means to live out this new creation life. What does it mean to live in this new way? Paul's just setting it up. He says, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come, verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, not counting the mistakes, not counting sin. Do you guys hear that? That's important. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Listen to this. For our sake, he made him to be sin. He's talking about Jesus. He made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, when we begin to rest in Christ, not only does it transform our life, we actually start to enter into the same ministry as Jesus, to reconcile the world to God. See, I know there are people in our lives that have been through some really hard stuff. Some of it is even similar to us, right? They've made lots of mistakes. They've had things done to them that are just horrible, right? They have traumas, all these kind of things. And they look at your life and they go, well, what's going on? You've had some of the same stuff happen to me. That happened to me. Why isn't your life like this? And you get to then start to share with them. Well, this is Jesus. This is what Jesus is doing. And you know who lives in you now? His Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. And so we can pray for them, right? We get to minister to them, right? And you start to see some effect, right? You start to pour into their life, and maybe they even receive a little bit of healing, and they're like, I want to know this Jesus. And they're like, well, you know what? You can know this Jesus. And they invite him in, and he pours his Spirit into them. They give their life, they give their heart, and man, they become a new creation, that the old has passed away, the new has come. See, this is what we're celebrating today. Not that they said yes to Jesus, but they are in him and he is in them, right? They're entering into his ministry. They're new creations. And just like Jesus went into the grave, they went into the grave with him. Do you know that? And as they go into this watery grave, you know, if you stay in there long enough, you're probably not going to live much longer. You know why? Because the old has passed away. That's what that's symbolizing. And just like Jesus was raised to life, just like he was raised to life as a new creation, as we come up out of that watery grave, we're raised to life, right? That's what it symbolizes. That's what it's declaring. The old has passed away. The new has come. See, I believe Jesus is inviting every single one of us to be in Christ, to be in him, that we would rest in who he is, that we would begin to worship, we begin to devour his truth so his truth becomes our truth, his thoughts becomes our thoughts, his ways become our ways, right? And I just want to tell you today, because I think some of us in here, we don't think we can be redeemed. You know, we think, oh, what? The darkness in my life is too dark. Right, God, I don't think Jesus can handle it, right? But you know, he didn't just take a little bit. He took all of the sins of the world, was poured out upon his body, right? And no matter how much was poured into his life, it just didn't go anywhere because he swallowed it up. That's how powerful it is. And see, Jesus is inviting us into that same ministry. I mean, it's amazing. He lives in you and we are his ambassadors. And he's imploring through you to reconcile the world to him. That same power lives in you. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to just get in a place to receive. Maybe put your hand on your heart. Lord, I just thank you for these. Wow, the Lord's just given me his compassion for you right now. I feel some of you are feeling really stirred in your spirit. Today is a day for breakthrough. Today is a day for freedom in your life. And so, Lord, I just bless what you're doing in every heart. God, that we would rest in what you did. And those of us that are not sure about you, Jesus, I thank you right now that you're drawing them closer. You're drawing them near. And as we fix our attention and our affection on you in worship, Lord, I thank you right now, some of that weight and anxiety is going to fall off because you're that powerful. Death, where is your sting? It's gone. So I thank you for that, Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.